Okay. At this time, I'll call to order the August meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. The date is August 5th, 2021, and the time is 6:30 p.m. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com. Present tonight, roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman.
Here.
Ms. Vaughn.
Here.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Here. We also have Pat Myers, fiscal officer, and also present Steve Gamble, police chief, Bob Matthews, director of roads and buildings and grounds, Joe Ponzi, fire chief, Joe Schaefer, director of development and zoning, and Paul Wise, our township administrator. At this time, Pledge of Allegiance, I'm going to call on Joe Ponzi to lead us in the pledge.
Flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move the agenda around a little bit this evening. It's always good to have some swearing ins, and so at this time I will turn it over to Chief Gamble.
And trustees, I request a resolution to hire Fernando Sanchez as a full-time police officer effective August 9th, 2021. Mr. Sanchez has successfully completed all portions of our hiring process to include the polygraph, background, psychological, and medical exams. Mr. Sanchez is a recent Police Academy graduate, and I recommend hiring him at the A-step rate of $30.80 per hour.
Very good. At this time, I will move to approve hiring Fernando Sanchez as full-time police officer effective August 9th, 2021 at the A-step rate of $30.80 per hour per the collective bargaining agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Bond.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you, Fernando. If you want to step up here and take the oath of office.
Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of police officer.
Of police officer.
In Genoa Township.
In Genoa Township.
Delaware County.
Delaware County.
State of Ohio.
State of Ohio.
During the continuance of my employment.
During the continuance of my employment.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Good.
And his father will be pinning the badge on him ceremonially. Wonderful. Do you want a picture there? And any of you are welcome to take pictures. Come up. Fernando, you want to tell us who you brought here with you tonight?
Yes, I brought my family. My dad is sitting here. My brother, my sister, my little sister, and my mom. I just want to say thank you to everybody, my friends. My old teachers, police department, everybody has been very kind to me. I look forward to working here and being a part of this community. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Welcome to our family. At this time, the officers will take you back to the station to have some cake and give you and your family a tour of the building.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard. Save us a piece of cake, all right? All right, we'll give a few moments for visitors to exit. All right, this time I'll call on Joe Ponzi. I believe he has a presentation to make. Good
Good evening, Board. In your packets, you should have a resignation letter from one of our part-time firefighters by the name of Jeff Ross. And Jeff is putting in his resignation, and I'd almost like to call it almost a retirement for us. Jeff has been with us almost from the beginning of our full-time career status. As you know, we transitioned to a career department on April 1st of 2001, and there were a lot of changes that happened during that time. And Jeff began his employment with us as a part-time firefighter EMT on June 13th of 2001, and has been here ever since. Jeff is a full-time firefighter for the City of Columbus, and he is just about ready to close out his career with the City of Columbus and has some things going on that he feels that he may not be able to provide the time he needs to provide to us as an employee. Jeff and a couple other guys that came to us early on in the days came from one of the busiest, I believe it's accurate, one of the busiest firehouses in the City of Columbus, which was Station 16, which back in the day was at Weber and McGuffey, although it's got a new home now, right? And Jeff and Don and Dave Pence, Dave is also a township resident, all were assigned to Rescue 16, which was one of the busiest rescues in the city, go on all major structure fires, automobile accidents, et cetera. So needless to say, Jeff and Dave, when they hired in, brought a vast wealth of knowledge to our department. And the great part of when we hired both of them, Jeff has since resigned and moved on to other endeavors, Jeff stayed. One of the best parts was the knowledge that Jeff was willing to come in and share with some of us that were kind of a little bit green. And it was always, Jeff was always willing to train with us and come up. And on certain occasions, Jeff and Dave and some of the other guys have voluntarily come up and provided training to our personnel at Genoa to no cost to us on their days off. So we really appreciate that. And I just wanted to say that I'm thankful for Jeff's 20-year commitment to our department. Jeff is also a resident, so his community and the residents that we serve. And basically, I'd just like to close by saying thank you, Jeff, for everything you've done for us and the community. And if you'd like to come up, we have a little plaque. And basically, it says, presented to Jeff Ross in recognition of 20 years dedicated service to the residents of Genoa Township. Your friendship and knowledge has been a blessing to our department and will be missed.
Jeff, you have any words?
Jeff, do you want to say anything?
After 20 years, you're more than welcome.
Not really, but I will say that it has been an honor to be with the men and women here at Genoa, and it's been a privilege to see what it's turned into. I mean, it was good then, but to see the growth that has come and the expertise that has come to fruition here with all these people has been a great thing to see. And also, it's been amazing to see how the township trustees and the community has worked with the fire department. It's been such a great partnership. And the PR that they do and the support that you've given them and that the people give them is second to none. So I appreciate being part of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Okay. Go ahead. If you want to go ahead, guys, that's fine. Thanks. Huh?
Yeah, we're the only one not getting cake, it appears.
Some cake and you guys
can get a lot. Yeah, and some ice cream, yeah.
People will be there for the next meeting in September, right?
All right, this time we'll go ahead and back on our regular agenda, and we'll start off with the fiscal officer report.
Thank you. Just a couple things tonight. Two on the agenda and then a comment at the end for you. First, I'd ask for you to approve the trustee meeting minutes, May 3rd, 2021, special trustee zoning meeting minutes, and the July 1st, 2021, regular trustee meeting minutes.
All right. At this time, I'll move to approve the following May 3rd, 2021 Special Trustee Zoning Meeting Minutes and July 1, 2021 Regular Trustee Meeting Minutes. Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms.
Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. I'll have financials for your review and signature end of month, June. Currently, total balance $24,507,924.54. Pooled investments $19,783,912.93. And the primary balance of $4,724,011.61. End of July will be a little more than that. We've received a disbursement, our disbursement for taxes. So you'll see that on the next financials and investments. So I'll have that for you. The only other comment I'd have is I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Brian Carter looking at our portfolio with Fifth Third. And I was pretty excited because one of the things we've always tried to do is ladder our investments, be liquid if we need it, get the most we can out of our money in pretty much a low interest rate environment. And there's one of the factors is called duration. So it looks at your whole portfolio and says the duration, if the longer the duration, the worse you are liquidity-wise for your whole portfolio. We're at 1 year, 1.37 years. So anything under 3 years and still earning what we're earning is really good. So we've stayed under that. If we need something, we can get to. If we had to, we could. And the other thing is, currently, just as an example, Star Ohio is paying 0.07, so less than one basis point. And our average earnings the last 12 months has been 0.6 on our investment portfolio. So it's been pretty good the way we've done it for the last, it's kind of been that way for a long time. But with Brian's help and keeping track of that, we've done a really good job with that as a township. So I just wanted to point that out because, you know, it's over the years, it's been hard to earn interest, you know, these several years. So I think we've done it in a kind of a smart way, in a no-risk way. You know, very transparent. So anyways, I just wanted you guys to know that because I had a meeting with him today. So
very good. Thank you.
That's all I have.
Any questions for Pat?
Yep.
All right. Trustee comments.
I just want to bring up for discussion. There was some talk last week about changing our mask policy and procedures in the township, and I wanted to put that forward.
Can we handle that during administration?
I don't care.
You can do it now if you want. I mean,
I don't care.
Doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah, we were concerned with the uptick in cases of positives in our area. I know one employee went in for an emergency surgery at the hospital in Delaware, and there were no beds to be had because of the cases of the new variant in coronavirus. So the Linda put out a memo about making some changes to our policy for groups in meetings in the hall, making it bringing back some of the face coverings. To me, it's I think we're going to go more towards if you would make it a voluntary policy instead of, since there's no grounds to make a mandate. There's no state backing for this, so I suggest that if you would like to, you know, wear the mask, they're welcome if you'd like. So I think we're changing the original statement that was put out just because it's make it voluntary. That way, if someone's uncomfortable being in the room, they can wear it if they'd like. So
okay. I want to clarify. I was at the Delaware City Council meeting last Monday, and Sheila Huddleston was, no, I'm pronouncing that wrong. Huddleston?
Huddleston?
Oh, it is Huddleston? Anyway, Sheila. Let's go with Sheila. She had stated that the week before last, because it was a week ago Monday, there were no COVID cases in the hospital, Delaware County, and last week there was one. So if there weren't beds to be had, it wasn't COVID-related.
That was just this week.
Okay.
Someone went in for an emergency surgery, and there were no beds.
Okay.
And they had to wait. Their surgery was delayed because of that. So things are changing drastically in Franklin County, especially where the density is.
Mm-hmm.
But up here, the good thing is we had a GTBA meeting yesterday in this room, and Pat Blaney, who's on the health board, announced that 77% of this zip code has been vaccinated. So that's an interesting figure, highest in Delaware County. So interesting. So that's my report for that.
And that was the 43082.
43082.
Zip code, because there are two in Genoa.
Yes.
Just to clarify.
Thank you. Yeah, for clarifying.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
You're good. Connie?
I'd like to touch base on a topic that we brought up probably several months, maybe even a couple years ago. And this has to do with the Hoover Watershed Overlay District. You know, as the township has grown, we've started to look at how homes, residents, their needs, et cetera, have evolved. And as part of that, we periodically review the zoning resolution. I'm wondering if this might be time for us to take another look at the Hoover Watershed Overlay District. And I know Mr. Schaefer had done a considerable amount of work on putting something together early on, and then it kind of got pushed to the side, and I'm thinking maybe it's time to dust that off and bring it back up. I'm wondering how the other trustees feel about this. And Mr. Schaefer, maybe you can tell us a little bit briefly about how you constructed that Hoover Watershed overlay.
Yeah, as you noted, it was an idea we floated past the Zoning Commission a few years ago when we were looking at the last comprehensive plan update that ran in accordance with the Zoning Resolution Amendment update we did to PRD. And the commission that time, for their reasons, decided they didn't think that was the right path to go down, so it sort of ended there. At that time, I had drafted a rough version of it because if they had wanted to go forward, I wanted to be prepared. Since then, every once in a while, I go back to it and I sort of tinker with it and have updated it, and just in case we'd ever want to see the light of day. So, I do have something. I'd need to do a little extra final touch before I present it to the board, but I mean, more probably just formatting and spell check and just making sure it still reads the way I want it to read, but... I could provide that to you if you wanted to.
Thank you. And my thought is, if we as a board are interested in taking another look at that and perhaps moving it forward by initiating it to the Zoning Commission, that is an option. So I just want to present that to my fellow trustees.
Had it ever been presented to the Zoning Commission, or hadn't it gotten that far?
They never actually saw the draft. They just heard sort of the very rough idea. But then they never actually saw what the writing was. So essentially what it would do would, as currently drafted, is sort of, so all the township, all the properties in the township are within a zoning district of some sort. What an overlay district is a second zoning district that would hence overlay over top of the first zoning district. And sometimes these are optional overlays in some areas. That's not how I envision this overlay. I envision this one to be mandatory. You often will see this often in communities with large floodplains. They'll establish floodplain overlays for properties so they can tighten restrictions on those, obviously, for flood reasons. But obviously, the Hoover watershed, Hoover being a huge body of water, probably the most prominent feature in all of the township, really, especially when you look at the map, it takes up probably over a quarter of our acreage. It's the first thing you really see. So, and there's a lot of land and water and tributaries that run into it. It's the entire east side of the east side of the reservoir of the township, plus sort of the north of Big Walnut, sort of this neck of the woods over to about Rome Corners Road. So the idea would be use it to maybe further regulate specifically like the planned developments. I'm not really thinking about touching much of the rural residential, suburban residential zoning very much. That zoning is pretty much working. People are very happy, especially with the rural residential zoning. So I really don't want to touch that. It's more has to do with like the planned developments and the commercial development, even further tightening stuff on open space buffers, landscaping requirements, you know, possibly looking at reducing density, even that those types of things. Like for commercial, maybe limiting the size of the square foot of the building and the lot coverage of impervious surfaces. So those are sort of the concepts, and there's other stuff in there. I don't want to bore everyone with it right now, but that's just sort of the general idea of how it functions. And then if any PRD would come in, or any development for that matter, plan development, not only would they have to comply with the base standards of the plan district that they want to go to, but then they'd also have to comply with this overlay. So like in the PRD, if their density is 2.2 and we reduce the density in this overlay, if that property's in the overlay, they don't qualify for the 2.2 anymore. They qualify for whatever the new, probably lower density maximum we would establish would be.
And I think part of that, too, is to protect Hoover Reservoir because it is a main source of water for the city of Columbus.
Yeah, and that was the thought. I mean, aside from just being so prominent with acreage, being a drinking water supply for Columbus, yeah, that's definitely part of it. And, you know, it's recreation, education, conservation, you name it all. I mean, Hoover provides that, even economics and tourism. I mean, it's such a vital asset to the community. I think it's really important that we protect it and the surrounding areas that feed into it.
So what would be the process, Joe? Would this go through the Zoning Commission first? Do we have to have a special meeting or something and
so,
hear public hearings? Maybe lay it out.
The way it works is amendments to the zoning resolution or to the zoning text can either be initiated by the commission or it can actually be initiated by the trustees. When the trustees initiate it, it's just like an application being made to the zoning commission. You would initiate it. It would go to the zoning commission for them to go through their public hearing process of review. They'd probably make some edits, some recommendations. They'd hold a vote on it. Then that document would come back to the trustees for final review and approval. So it'd pretty much be the standard process, only instead of someone submitting an application or the zoning commission saying we're going to start this process, the board does have the authority to start it. Because you could ask the commission to start it, but that's all it is an ask. But if you formally initiate it, then they're obligated by the revised code to handle it just like they would an application to them.
But it still doesn't, I mean, it still requires action by the trust, ultimately by the trustees.
Yes,
as any
yes.
Other zoning.
So when you would probably review it first to make sure it's a document you even want to initiate, that you're happy with the initial draft. And then once you initiate it, yeah, they go to the commission. It'd be, again, the public hearing process, public comment periods, all of that. And then back to the Board of Trustees after the commission makes a recommendation for the board to also have the public hearing, public comment. And then the board would have the final vote on it.
So it sounds like you need to get it to us so we know what we're...
Right.
If you're interested in going down that path, yes.
That
would be the next step.
Yeah. Okay. So you want it sent to us?
I have a few questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember the Zoning Commission discussing this when mm-hmm. the Comprehensive Plan and Zoning Resolution were revised a couple years ago. And some issues with the overlay were that you can't use roads mm-hmm. to offset... So what makes you think that it's going to work this time versus when it was discussed last time? Because I think the Zoning Commission kind of pushed it aside.
Because a watershed is a natural boundary. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, it's not an arbitrary boundary that we're picking, that we're just saying Big Walnut Road, one corner. You know, we're not
right.
sort of picking just roads, and it's harder to justify. It's a natural occurring boundary, so it's not arbitrary. And again, with Hoover being such a prominent feature in the township, it's pretty obvious that there's definitely a public interest in protecting it and the lands that feed into it. You know, obviously there's going to be lands that aren't part of this overlay. And all land is part of a watershed, obviously, mm-hmm. somewhere. All water goes somewhere. But obviously most of the rest of the water in Genoa Township feeds ultimately to Alum Creek. A little bit to Alum Reservoir, but by and large it all drains down to Alum Creek. Through tributaries down through Westerville. So, and while that water is also important, I think Hoover, just again, the amount of land acreage it takes up in the township, I think we can make a really strong case that there's a reason we need to treat these properties differently.
And then I also remember discussions of properties. If the line goes through the properties, how do you address that?
Sure, that's an excellent question because that was one of the things I had to mm-hmm. try to figure out myself. So the way I'm thinking we would approach it is it would apply to all properties that are wholly or partially within, knowing that if we ever got a plan development and they say, really, I'm in, I've got like 2% of my track is in it and now I've got to buy all the, I'm in on these regulations, that's what the divergence process is for. If the board that's sitting at the time says, no, we don't think that's fair. We're willing to let you not have to follow those rules. Then they could grant them a divergence. But I think the clearest way to do it in terms of conveying it, communicating it, mapping it, is to just say it's all parcels wholly or partially within it. I actually already had regional planning draft up a map of it, so I know which parcels are in, which are out. You know, they just took the parcel layer, the watershed layer, and then they just tell the computer, okay, find me all the parcels that have both of those layers on it. And that's, they spit out the list, and there you go.
Okay. I have many more questions, but that's for another time. Yeah. As we go through this process, I'm 100% behind this. I was disappointed that that was never implemented or looked at the last time they looked into this, and I know I've had discussions with Joe within the last year and a half about it as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to meet with you one-on-one, or if you just want to ask those questions as part of any meeting or hearing the board, or not hearing, but meeting the board sets to review it or possibly discuss it, either or.
I was just going to say, to clarify, I think that we as trustees need to look at this and read through it, because I know I need to refresh my memory on what's in there, but then decide, perhaps even a special meeting, that if we decide to initiate, we could talk about it at that special meeting, initiate it, and assign the task to the Zoning Commission.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and send it out to us? And,
okay.
That way we can look at it. And I think there is a need, another, if I'm not mistaken, in our agenda, we have another need for a special meeting.
Well, there'll be a need for possibly a hearing.
A hearing, okay. So maybe hearing, meeting. So we can talk about that maybe as we get further down.
Okay. Or if you don't have dates or prepare with dates, you know, we can always, like any other special meeting, we can sort of work and figure out. It's not like it's not a public hearing where I have to advertise it and say, I need you guys or you all to decide tonight. So I can advertise it. We will have to advertise, but again, it's not the same advertising requirements as a public hearing. So we have
and it's not
more
a
flexibility.
Time-sensitive thing.
No.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and send it out to us.
I'll probably be able to send it out probably early to mid next week. Like I said, I'm off tomorrow, and I've got some final tweaking I want to do. Make sure it's show ready.
Okay.
That's fine.
Sounds good.
All righty.
Anything else, Connie?
That's all I have. Thank you.
A couple things. I asked Paul to check with the Delaware County Health Department on hazardous waste pickup day. I've had a couple residents who, you know, with the Rumpke situation, it kind of brings to light, what do we do with paint cans? What do we do with gasoline, pesticides? And I know, I thought at one time we did one. We didn't. I mean, we hosted it. The county did it. So I've asked Paul if he would check with them to see if maybe this fall, for a fall cleanup, we can do that.
I've got a meeting next week with the head of the Solid Waste District. Okay. That's the entity that plans these. And we're talking about if there is a suitable site in Genoa Township large enough to host.
Okay.
So I think it would be beneficial for our residents to not have to travel across the county to take their items. So
yeah.
I'll see if we can figure out a game plan for some site for this.
Also, we received an email about a resident had a concern about the intersection of Lewis Center and Worthington Road as far as some possible bushes blocking the line of sight. I think, Bob, you said you went out and checked on it, and and I informed the person that this could be a county issue, but we would continue to follow up with the county on it. I guess I would just say that, you know, while we look at that intersection, you know, if there are other intersections out there that residents see that we have vegetation that's grown up, that's posing us a problem, just to let us know. We can work with the maintenance department, the police department, if we need to try to get some of those areas mowed down and kept clear. If it is on private property, I guess we can make a request to the private property owner if it's theirs, and hopefully they would take it upon themselves to trim that back. But just want to let the residents know that if you do see those kind of areas, let the township know. And also just kudos to Steve and Joe. Bob, you had folks there at the National Night Out. It was a great evening, perfect weather, fantastic turnout, and I think everyone had a good time. So
the band was half decent, too, that night.
Yeah, that's right. I understand we had a band.
Half
there.
Of it was.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's all I had also for trustee comments. All right, so let's go into public comment. Any public comments? Okay.
Catherine Nelson, 4000 Old 3C. Carl, just what you said about Lewis Center, it may be on the county, it is around the lake, and it is very dangerous. So I don't understand why we're going to wait until the county does something about it when it actually is a safety issue. Mm-hmm. You cannot see to the left. You can't see to the north. If I have to go out there with my shears again at night at 2 o'clock, and the cops won't arrest me, I would do it myself. Mm-hmm. But it is something that needs to be done.
Yep.
So
not it's disagreeing
a,
with
it's
you.
It's a safety issue. So why are we going to wait until it's Delaware County?
The same reason, and it's unfortunate that we have to have these kind of situations between jurisdictions, but you know, we want to make sure that the county is at least aware of it. If we go in there and we start doing something and an accident happens or whatever, from what I understand, it's the same reason why we can't plow county roads with our snow plows. I mean, there's these unfortunate liability issues, and it's not our property, it's not our responsibility. It is a safety issue, and so we will work with them. And Bob thinks it's actually on private property. So if that's the case, then we can go out and talk to that property.
It actually is not on private property. It is on Hoover Reservoir. It's on the Hoover. It's on the land around it, down where the fishing site is.
We're talking Worthington and Lewis Center is where we're talking about.
Oh, you're not talking about 03C and Lewis Center Road?
No. Okay. But if that's another area, that is
the one that's very dangerous. There's been several accidents there. Bikers almost got hit. We're talking two branches. You need to come out and look at it. Lewis Center and Old 3C.
Yeah.
Right down by the fishing lane.
Okay.
So I apologize. I had the wrong spot.
That's what we want. Residents bringing it to our attention.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? All right. Seeing none, let's move on to administration. Paul.
Thank you. This evening, we are getting more and more information concerning the American Rescue Plan funding. Even since last month, there's been different opinions made about this. So the deadline for the township to apply to receive funding for this is going to be in early September. So either way, we do need to commit, and the advice of some of the legal advisors are that please commit up front and then figure out what you're going to do with the funds. I sent you a link to a great webinar from the, I don't know if you've had time to view it. It was a two-hour webinar. The first hour of it, at least, was about the plan itself, and the second half was answering questions from participants. So I recommend that we do submit the information they need. They need our DUNS number. They need there's some financial data that's submitted, and then we can discuss the specifics of that. I just want to tell you there's some eligibility that our township could use the money for, and I'm a person that believes that if the federal funding is going to help any amenity in the township, we should use it because it's being offered to us. So extensive parks interest. If one of the things for this grant says is if the parks, one way to get people safer is to have activities out in at our parks. And by updating the parks, renewing some of the equipment because of overcrowding or because of age, et cetera, that's a reason to use the funds. And we have a park right behind us that's aging. Some of the other areas too that we could use this in our parks would be for possibility of the restroom enhancements. Because if we have parks right now with porta-johns, and we've had issues where the porta-johns have been spilled over, et cetera. And so part of this is maintaining clean drinking water. And when you got Porter John spilling over, that doesn't help clean. So the facilitating restrooms at some of the facilities would definitely be applicable. At first, we thought fire hydrants were going to be applicable. But unless we receive legal guidance saying that a fire hydrant will increase water quality, then that may not be an eligible item. So anything we do go ahead with, I'm going to ask for legal opinion to make sure that they feel that it is an eligible expense, because this is one of the things that, like when the state auditors come in, they want to have documentation that we are using the funds for a proper purpose. So
yeah, I feel like, can I speak to that a little bit?
Sure, Pat.
The money's going to be, I'll have to sign that it's available, but you know, when people read the Bible or whatever,
they interpret it this way, and you interpret it this way. And this language is can be interpreted a lot of ways. And when we first read about it, we thought, oh, infrastructure, we can do things. But then when you read deeper, you find, no, that's really not the case. So the first statement might sound great. So I really think we need to do some research before we make any commitments to spending money that a separate, maybe even special meeting or something down the road. We have till a certain date to apply or whatever, but it's not as cut and dry as that original funding that came out for the CARES Act. So I just want to make sure that you guys all know that. And Paul and Donna and I've been talking to Donna all about, Paul's been talking to Donna a lot about it. We just want to make sure that we're using it the way it's supposed to be used. So I would ask that before we make any snap decisions, just like you said, Paul, we go to our free legal counsel and say, can you review this with us and see if you think it fits the bill?
So legal counsel is, yeah, obviously we want to talk to them, but is there another state agency or a federal agency that can also provide us?
We can use the OTA as well. The OTA can help us.
That's an association.
The Ohio Township Association. I watched part of the webinar today. I'll finish it tomorrow. I think the Q&A is part of what I really want to hear is what people are asking. What can we do? And I'll make notes of that, and I can communicate what I hear. I'll keep talking to Paul as well. I mean, we do absolutely want to take advantage of funds that can help our township do the things that this money is meant for. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we do it right so when the auditor comes back in 2 years, we're not answering to something we shouldn't have done, obviously, all four of us and five of us. So anyways, I echo what you're saying, Paul. I appreciate the fact that you said
that. The good thing is they keep issuing further
guidance
on this, which actually may be expanding some of the money usage. But the first thing is, with the board's wish, I don't know, consensus vote, do you want us to go ahead and put our, because once you, if you miss the September deadline, you don't, there's no 2 year at all pay into this thing. So if the board's accepting that, then we'll submit the paperwork to at least apply for the money.
If you apply and you don't use it all,
But I heard one difference between this and the CARES Act. You can actually use the interest. You can, because, hey, that does amount to something. You know, Pat talked about interest rates. Every little bit will help offset costs.
So do we have to have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and I had the same question that Trustee Vaughn just brought up, and I also was going to say that a couple of the items that you have mentioned will help us stretch our parks levy funds, because those are things that were in the first 3 years of the levy, and if we can use these funds to achieve the same goal, that will help us in using that in another way.
So, Paul, do we have to come up with a list of projects before we apply? Do we apply for the money, get the money?
What happens is you apply for the money, and they send you the first, they call it a tranche. And then it sits there, and then you start drawing upon that. And then you want to make sure that whatever you do, that you document everything you do, because the OTA has even put out guidance on the spending on a spreadsheet so that when auditors do come in, you can do that. But before we ever use any of it, like for a purpose, I would get a legal opinion just to cover myself and the board and Pat on the proper spending usage.
Well, I first read the infrastructure part. I'm like, well, that's perfect. It's infrastructure. We can do fire hydrants. But then when you read deeper, it's
clean water.
So right now, all you need is a consensus from the trustees.
Yes.
Is there any opposition to going forward?
Yeah. I'm good with it.
Okay.
Say we have consensus. So
we'll meet the deadline to put our foot in the door to get the money. So
okay, very good.
And thank you. And then secondly, on the agenda, the township has been awarded an ODNR Step Outside grant. This grant was applied, Leslie Strader applied to paperwork. We've applied every year we have fishing day. So the grant is to be used specifically, in our request was for fishing poles for the kids. And so we'll use that $500 to buy the fishing poles for the participants.
And we need a motion. I will move to accept the 2021-2022 Step Outside grant in the amount of $500 for the Genoa Township Fishing Day. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Appreciate Leslie submitting that grant and appreciate ODNR providing it.
My last item, We received an email this today from the county prosecutor's office on the opioid settlement that's now being discussed. The county prosecutor's taking the lead by providing the a blanket or a boilerplate resolution for all jurisdictions in Delaware County to pass. So I took the liberty today to Genoa-ize that legislation so that it reads better instead of for a city council or for a board of trustees. And if you have any questions, I know Joe worked his butt off today trying to understand the opioid settlement since he's one of the, he's our closest person here to a medical expert. If you have any questions about the specifics, maybe Joe can be able to answer those.
Joe?
As I said before the meeting, Paul was ever so gracious to ask me to review the 129-page document for this evening at about 10 o'clock this morning. So I did my best, and I don't know if any of you had a chance to even begin to review it. This is the large settlement for the opioid crisis that the United States has been in for a number of years. Looks like the three major distributors of some of the opioids that were being abused. That settlement's going to be $804,865,429 to the state of Ohio, and then distributed to local public subdivisions over an 18-year period. It gets really, obviously, this is came from an attorney's office. It gets some areas it's not very clear. If my interpretation, if my understanding is correctly, we have to get X amount of participants of the political subdivisions in the state to sign off on this to be eligible to receive funds, or they get left behind. Again, if I understood, there's several tiers on how we get money. Out of this document, it looked to me that the direct payment to the subdivision, which would be Genoa Township, at the minimal rate would be $69,230.14. The part that I wasn't able to extract from these documents is that a yearly payment over 18 years. I didn't see that in here. And then as more subdivisions come online, there's a chance for us to receive more funding. And that would be the 100% payment that would come to Genoa Township. And that dollar amount would be $98,900.20. But certain rules have to be met. Certain X amount of political subdivisions have to join into the settlement and the agreement. And then there's some incentives, et cetera. I think overall we've been pretty fortunate in Genoa Township. We haven't been hit nearly as hard as some other cities and areas throughout the state of Ohio with the opioid crisis. This, I can't say that we haven't dealt with some of it, but not to the extent that others have. But if we had the possibility to receive some funding that would help us out, I know Renee set up the training through the Delaware Public Health Department a couple months ago that we had at the police department. There's some areas where you can provide further training. All that was free. And they also passed out Narcan, did they not, Renee? Right now, as far as we go at the fire department, we're still paying for Narcan. So and it expires in a year or two, and then we have to replace it. So continually revolving door. So, if we could purchase supplies and maybe do some public education with the funds, et cetera, and hopefully no different than the Rescue Plan Act, as we enter into this, we'll get more information on what we could spend it on. So that's kind of a brief.
Joe, that was the same question you had, is that $69,000 per year, is that over the 18? Even if it's over the 18, it's still $3,800 a year. At 100%, the 98 is about $5,500 a year. So, it's not a lot of money, but it is something,
So, $2 million if it's a year. yearly payment is 1.2.
And it may be a yearly payment of 69,000.
800 million, right. It might be.
There's $800 million to dole out. I mean, the vast majority of the document is all the political subdivision breakdowns of who's getting what funds. And I don't know, I didn't read it in here or see it where how they came up with that formula. Is it per capita, you know, of residents within your political subdivision? I didn't see how any of these formularies got made. So I don't have any answers to why are we getting this much and another place is only getting $2,000.
Well, in Delaware County is getting a significant amount of money too, and I don't know if there's any potential trickle down there or not to local governments or at least joint projects that we could do. So
yeah, they're going to get $679,000 in the county.
So
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know of any downsides to this. Is there something I'm missing on this? Is there any reason we wouldn't do this?
I don't see any reason why we wouldn't.
Okay.
And the other portion that I was looking for, no different than what we were just talking about, is what I didn't see in this document is if we receive the funds and in a certain period of time we don't spend them on said expenses, do we give it back or is there any settlement? Not in a settlement?
They're paying a settlement.
Okay.
We're part of the reason that I didn't read the whole document, but the reason they're asking so many subdivisions to be a part, because if you don't get that many, then they're going to walk away and not have to settle, probably. So there's probably a minimum amount of subdivisions that have to be involved. Once those are involved, then it'll go to everybody, even though people, just because we said we'll be a part of it, we're not going to get more because other people didn't. They just need a minimum amount of to be involved. But if it's a settlement, it wouldn't be, it's not like a CARES Act or something. They're not loaning it or, you know, handing us money.
So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't.
That was the way I understood it. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right, I'll go ahead and make a motion to accept the material terms of the One Ohio Subdivision Settlement pursuant to the One Ohio Memorandum of Understanding consistent with the terms of the July 21, 2021 National Opioid Settlement Agreement as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, so start that process.
Pat has a couple forms there that need to be signed, and we'll get them up to the proper agencies.
Anything else on administration?
Nothing else.
Next is zoning. Joe? BZA member.
Hello again, board. First item before you is a resolution to begin the process of removing a BZA alternate member. Earlier this year, during the annual reappointment process, the trustees appointed a gentleman by the name of Michael Mayhew as an alternate to the Board of Zoning Appeals. We communicated that to Mr. Mayhew. He followed up with us. He had an onboarding meeting with Susan Dorsch via WebEx, I believe. In March, and we believe we were good to go when his term officially began in April 1st. We have not heard from him nor seen him since the WebEx onboarding meeting. So earlier this week, I filed official written charges with the prosecutor's office informing them that we have a BZA member who's not performing their duty. Susan's tried to call him. Susan has, I think, emailed him directly. Susan has, I believe she sent him a letter. He's also been receiving all the regular correspondence we send to the Board of Zoning Appeals just as part of the monthly correspondence that we have with them about hearings and cases. Nothing. No response. I tried calling last month, left a voicemail, have never heard back. We believe we have the correct email, correct phone number, correct address on file. We're using the resume that was provided to us. And even if we didn't, to have gone from April to now and not have contacted us at all about saying, hey, I haven't heard from you guys, are we having any meetings or not, seems strange to me. So I don't know why or what's going on, but I think we're to the point, the BZA is shorthanded. You know, they've got five regular members and right now just one alternate. And those alternates can be important. You know, it's not unusual. We have one or two members sometimes have to miss because of work, illness, stuff comes up, things just happen. So it's important that we have both of those alternate positions filled. So before you this evening, so the process of removing a BZA member is a process laid out by the Ohio Revised Code. So what you have before you this evening is a resolution prepared by the prosecutor's office that would officially initiate that that removal process. So you have a copy of the charges that I provided to Mr. Fowler that I've signed, and then the resolution. So as part of this process, as you'll see in the resolution, is Mr. Mayhew is entitled to a hearing by under the terms of the revised code. So you would need to schedule a public hearing, provide the opportunity for official testimony to be put on the record by me, which would be relatively brief, most likely. And if Mr. Mayhew attends to speak his case in front of the board, and then obviously at the close of the hearing, it would be up to the board to make a decision on how they wish to go. Obviously, I'll consult with Mr. Fowler to make sure we follow the correct process, but that's my understanding of the proceedings, at least in a general matter. So before I just ask this evening, the board schedule the public hearing and adopt that resolution. You may want to have a discussion about the date first and maybe some of the other info, because there's a couple things you have to fill in on the resolution there. I think it's on the bottom of the first page. So I guess that wraps it up. I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. So is we have to at least offer the public hearing. If we have to hold the public hearing, mm-hmm. even if we don't hear anything from him, we have
Correct.
To hold it, go through the process.
It'll be advertised. He'll get notice. If this resolution gets adopted, we're required to send the charges that I signed as well as the resolution that the board adopts via registered mail to him at least 10 days in advance of the hearing. Since it's a public hearing, I assume it'll also be advertised in at least the newspaper, possibly posted here at the building. I contacted Mr. Fowler today just to make sure that was the case and asked him if we do need to do that to write up the legal notice I need to post. So in regards to the date scheduling, the earliest I could probably get something advertised in the paper is probably early next week. So definitely it'd have to be no earlier than August 20th, preferably even later than that. We can try to at least get to the post office tomorrow to send the items out by mail that we need to send, but I'd rather do more like 14 or plus days out from next week, just provide us enough buffer, because you just never know.
This could be a daytime meeting as well.
It could be a daytime meeting. Could be part of your next regular meeting. You could do a special meeting. It's totally up, I think, to the board. You just have to schedule the hearing. I don't anticipate it'll take, at least my portion is not going to take too long. Obviously, if Mr. Mayhew attends, I can't speak for how long he may wish to
testify. So we're down an alternate member of the BZA. So the quicker we get this handled, the quicker we can appoint an
Correct.
Alternate.
So if the board were to move forward with removal, there's no deadline set by the revised code of when the new replacement member would have to be assigned. It's up to the trustees. But yes, I think it would behoove everyone, and especially the Board of Zoning Appeals, to have a full board again.
Do we have any BZA meetings scheduled between now and our...
They have one later this month.
They do. What's your thoughts? Any thoughts?
Even if we schedule a meeting within that time, we won't find a replacement this month.
And this is just the resolution to have the hearing. You're not necessarily making the decision on removal tonight. So,
right.
You and I'm not saying you have to adopt the resolution either. I'm just putting it in front of you, I guess.
So if I'm looking at my calendar,
Yeah, no, go ahead.
If I'm looking at my calendar correctly, the earliest you would want to do it is the week of August 23rd, and then that following Thursday we would have a meeting anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. We just do it prior to the
You can have it as part of your regular meeting.
Yeah.
We'll just advertise that the hearing's at 6:30. That doesn't necessarily mean we get to that agenda item at 6:30.
Okay.
It just means
right.
be here at 6:30 if you're interested in that proceeding.
Okay. And I also want to clarify, too, you know, this is ORC language that we have to use, and, you know, the charges that are referenced by Joe Schaefer, I mean, these aren't criminal charges.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I don't want people to think that there's been some criminal thing or this Mr. Mayhew is, you know, whatever, but he just hasn't showed up. And
Correct.
Joe explained, it's the process we have to follow.
Yeah,
so
it's not criminal. It's nothing
exactly.
personal, obviously. It's just
yep.
we need to be able to do our business.
Okay, then I'll make a motion to acknowledge receipt of charges against the member of the Board of Zoning Appeals and setting a hearing pursuant to the revised code 519.04 and 519.13. The date of that hearing will be September 2nd, 6:30 p.m. at the township office. And the rest of the resolution as printed. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. All right, Joe.
Thank you. I will need that document signed. I believe Mr. Myers has a copy of it. It's probably in the book there. Or maybe it's that item there.
Okay.
If you don't, I can make sure we get a copy of it for you to sign. Second Next. Item on the agenda is also related to the Board of Zoning Appeals, oddly enough. We have an individual who's requested to have their Board of Zoning Appeals application fee, it says refunded, but it's actually a waiver because we have the check, but we haven't cashed it yet because we thought this was likely that this request was going to come in. So just to summarize, the property owner who's making the request has a Board of Zoning variance application in front of the Board of Zoning Appeals. They're actually in the process of selling their house. And as part of the process, you know, there was due diligence being done by the financial entities, and I'm not exactly sure who ordered the survey, whether, but a survey was sent to us by the broker or lender or someone saying, hey, the survey we had done shows that this house and this deck are over the setback lines on this property. Can you look at this and let us know if this is accurate? And when we looked at it, we said, well, it doesn't match the survey that we have on file that we issued for the house because we obviously issued a compliant permit based on a compliant permit. So they said, okay, we're going to go back and double check and maybe have a second survey done. Well, they had the second survey done. Turns out the deck, while still needing a permit, is fine, but the house, the front of the garage, encroaches over their front setback a few feet. And so obviously that has complicated the sale from my understanding. And so once we became aware of a violation, you know, I have to do what I have to do, and really the only way to remedy it, other than remove that portion of the encroachment, is to file for a variance request and ask the Board of Zoning Appeals to grant the variance. So that's what they've done. However, they have requested the fee waiver because this is a pretty unique situation, and I think you can see in the email I provided to the board, they've cited the reasons why they think the fee should be waived. So the board has the authority. This is completely under your discretion, whether or not you want to do this. The fee schedule just says it's up. Any fee waivers, refunds, reductions, unless it's very specific scenarios, have to be authorized by the trustees. So the request has been made, so I'm bringing it in front of the board this evening for discussion.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and move to approve a waiver of the BZA variance application fee for Wendy Buerta, property located at 7225 Nightshade Drive. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Any further discussion?
I did have a discussion with Joe about this. The fee for this variance is pretty much just covers our township costs, filing fees and BZA payment for their time. So just want to put on the record that pretty much the township then would be eating the cost of allowing this variance.
Okay.
Well, and when is the hearing? Has this been heard or is it?
No, it's on the agenda for the end of this month. It's one of two applications on their agenda.
Okay. And I want to be very clear that whatever the decision is of this board has no bearing on the decision of the BZA. Those are
correct.
Two
this
separate
is purely
things.
Just about whether or not they have to pay the fee
exactly.
or the full fee.
Okay.
They own the property since 2002.
Yeah,
I believe they're the original homeowners.
Yeah. It does say they were original owners.
Yeah. So that when they built everything, right?
I don't know if they had it built for them or if it was built on spec and sold to them. That I don't know.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the motion's on the table. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
All right. I will inform the BARDAs that their fee has been canceled, and we will return the check to them.
Okay.
Or void it, whatever they want us to do with it.
All right.
I do have one other item. I don't believe it's on your agenda because it was such a late add today. We received today from Delaware County IT a supplemental agreement for intergovernmental cooperation. To put it in layman's terms, it's a supplemental agreement for our IT services so we can begin the conversion of the Doculex data. We're very, very close to having that project greenlit. Really, the only slowdown has been some of this agreement, legalese stuff between the county needed to figure out exactly what they were going to ask of us. And as part of the agreement, there is some going to be some cost assessed to us because of the storage of the data. The infrastructure to do that is quite costly for the county. And while they already have it, they feel like it's only fair. And Paul and I agreed that the township contribute towards the cost of them having to maintain that infrastructure since we're using it. So that's really what they're asking for. A lot of the rest of this is pretty boilerplate stuff. So with this, there may be some documentation that us and or the county still have to iron out with the vendor doing the conversion for us, but we're really close. In fact, we have the test environment for the new document management system has been up internally for several weeks, and we've been testing putting documents in and going through all the minutia of all of that fun stuff. So I really do think, knock on wood, I know I've said this a few years, we might actually get it done this year and by the end of the year. So a little bit of it's sort of out of my control because, like I said, it's up to the vendor's schedule and the county making sure all their paperwork is in order and they've got the resources ready to do it. But it's definitely the closest we've ever been by a mile.
Do you need action on this, Joe?
Yes, because I believe it does require signature by the board. And, Pat, that's probably the document you have there in front of you. And I believe Mr. Myers has to sign it as well. And, you know, it outlines the rates we're going to be charged by their IT professionals and all that. So it's we've looked it over, pretty standard stuff.
So I'll make a motion that Genoa Township enter into an agreement with Delaware County Board of Commissioners to allow the Delaware County Information Technology staff to provide information technology services to the township. Effective today's date, is that right?
Yeah, you may want to add the just adoption of approval of the intergovernmental cooperation agreement provided on this date.
Okay. Effective August 5th, 2021. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
I have a couple questions. And Section 4 talks about compensation. The monthly fee is $250 per server and $12 per account user.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks about how many. Is that typical? I don't know what we...
Yes.
Yeah, it's very typical.
Typical, yes.
And then also it talks about charging fees for, I guess it's consultation or help, kind of the helpline. That all is standard?
That's standard. And I should say that this is, we've been paying about 50% less with the county than we were with our private firm that we were using. So these are good rates, and we use them as needed. So
okay. This has been really good because, like, if it's a simple, hey, can you reset my password, we generally don't get charged for that because it's such a quick job. That was not the case under the previous service provider.
I just want to thank Mr. Kites' office for getting this done. I've been in communication with him, and also Commissioner Lewis has been really good about updating me on this project. So thank you. Delaware County.
Trustee Vaughn for helping me out and making sure, speaking with the people, powers in charge, and making sure this helps stay moving forward.
You're welcome.
All right, win-win, all the way around. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Anything else, Joe?
No, I think I've talked to you enough.
All right.
Trustees, I have an employee of the fiscal office listening to the meeting this evening, and she's recommending, instead of a consensus vote, that the board pass a resolution authorizing the township apply for those COVID grant money.
All right. Let's see if we can move back and find that language. I was going to say, yeah.
That's what you're doing, Pat.
Take tomorrow off.
Is that the
American
Rescue Plan funding?
Yeah. Yes.
Two of seven, first
two
item.
Two of seven, yes. Move to accept the application for the American Rescue Plan funding. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. All right. And thank you, Donna.
You can hang up now.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Joe, we have one more item, don't we? Zoning violation settlement?
Sorry about that. The reason I didn't talk about it is I actually don't have an update, nothing. I thought maybe we'd have some paperwork to provide to you this evening about that case, but nothing yet. So.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Steve, police chief.
Good evening again. Bob's folks have finished the major portion of the grading around our station, so now it's time to finally put in some landscaping. So before you, you have a request for a purchase order to Russell Landscape Services in the amount of $12,000. And it lists all the different items. I won't go through everything, but 14 Norway spruce trees. You have a lot of different plants. They're going to do the seeding, the final grade, the seeding and straw. Should look really nice once it's all done. We expect that to be done in the next couple weeks. Weather depending, obviously. That's kind of slowed us down up to date, but we're ready to move forward with that final step of the landscaping. And this was included in the budget and plan for the improvement of sites for the facility.
Okay, so this is money that
this
we...
This has been planned all
along.
This isn't
new money, yeah.
Okay.
I'll move to approve the purchase order to Russell Landscape Services in the amount of $12,000 for landscaping the new police station. Is there a second?
Second.
Steve, a couple questions on the planting of the grass and the seed. We don't have irrigation there, do we?
I'm sorry?
We don't have an irrigation system as part of the...
No.
Okay. So, you know, I'm not a landscaper, but I don't think this is an ideal time to be planting grass. So I think we just need to make sure that if it's planted, that we have some way of making sure that it's getting watered on a regular basis, and so it'll take off.
That's,
if not, what, probably wait until September, October.
That's what junior officers are for.
Ah, very good. Yes.
Now we will make sure and work with the landscape company to put it in an optimal
with a
time.
Little water can.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, figured you would. All right. Yeah, that's going to look real nice.
Yep.
Appreciate that. All right.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Just a couple police-related items to update everybody on. I put out messages last week that last week we had 4 stolen cars in the township and a lot of cars broken in. Mostly around the Grand Oaks area. 3 of the 4 cars have been recovered. 2 were recovered in the township, 1 being the night that it was stolen. The 3rd car that was recovered near Children's Hospital down in Columbus. The common denominator here is the cars are being left unlocked and valuables in it. And in a couple of these cases with the keys either in the ignition or inside the car, which... You know, the thieves come around and try a door handle, and if it's locked, they move on. Rarely, if ever, do we have a car broken into or tampered with if it's locked. But when they find cars unlocked and they find cars they can easily steal, they come back. And it's not just us. There's, you know, we have intelligence reports that list specific suspects, but there's a large group of teenagers, young, 12 years old up to 18, going around every region in central Ohio, every suburb, all the way up to Akron, stealing cars. This morning, Gahanna recovered a stolen car with 5 teenagers in it, and at some point, the officer got shot at during the incident, but he was unhurt. So, and a lot of these kids, even when they get caught down in Franklin County, they're pretty much right back out on the street. So it's a recurring thing. It's been an ongoing problem. So the message to our residents is just please, just lock your car. Also, make sure your garage doors are closed. We see a lot of garage doors open throughout the night, and you know a lot of people don't lock their inner access door. And also, if your car is unlocked, a lot of people have their remotes for the garage inside the car. So, but again, they're not going to break the window. That makes too much noise generally. They're going to find the cars that are unlocked and go for those. So... the other thing I do want to, on National Night Out, I want to thank all the volunteers from our Citizen Police Advisory Committee and the Citizen Police Academy Alumni Association for coming out and volunteering. to help. We couldn't do something without this. You know, the thing for me, it was just great to once again hear the laughter of all the kids after this long year we've had. And it was pretty much throughout, and especially during the big cops versus kids water balloon battle, which was a lot of fun. All of our officers came out soaked, which was fine. I was a little disappointed to find out that my boss, Mr. Wise, was throwing balloons at me from behind me during the fracas. There's photo evidence of it. Fortunately, he throws like a Cleveland Browns quarterback, so I was pretty much unharmed from that. So, but next year, maybe we'll have the firefighters take the hit. So, that's all I have.
And that's enough. I know, Steve, you've been putting stuff out on your Facebook and everything about the car break-in, or not break-ins, but the thefts. Paul, I think it would be good if Leslie just kind of keep bringing that kind of stuff up also. I mean, we have good coverage through that. Steve, school starts next week?
Next week.
So.
At least Westerville. I'm not sure about the other schools.
Olin Tangi is the week after.
Week after.
Yeah, same for Olin Tangi.
Again, I would probably suggest putting something out about the school zones and
I'll put something out too.
We'll put out as well.
There's no zero tolerance for speeding in the school zones.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Okay. Bob.
The first item is some blanket POs. I just didn't write these earlier this year. I need some more funds. And it is in the budget.
Move to approve the following blanket purchase orders for the Road and Bridge Fund: $34,000 repairs and maintenance, $28,000 contract services, $25,000 operating supplies. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next item is, we opened the material bids 2 weeks ago, and the results, lowest bid and who we're awarding to are on the paper.
All right. Motion to accept the asphalt bid results from Mid-Ohio Paving Incorporated as follows. 301 is $53 a ton. 402 is $56 a ton. 404, $59 a ton. 448 type 1 is $59 a ton. 448 type 2 is $55.75 per ton. And coal patch is not applicable. Price per ton effective 12 months from the date of acceptance with the option of a 12-month extension with approval of both parties. Is there a second?
Second.
Bob, how's this compare to previous costs?
That particular vendor went up about $3 per ton on all of them.
$3, so a little less than 10%. Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Mr. Carries. Enter into a contract with Scioto Materials, LLC. Make a motion to accept the asphalt bid. Results from Scioto Materials, LLC as follows. 301 $63.50 a ton, 402 $69.50 a ton, 404 $76.50 a ton, 448 type 1 is $76.50 a ton, 448 type 2 is $69.50 a ton, and coal patch is non-applicable. Price per ton effective 12 months from the date of acceptance with the option of a 12-month extension with approval of both parties. Second?
Second.
The reason we're awarding it two different vendors is because if I got to have asphalt and can't get it from the primary, I go to the secondary. But we do not use the secondary unless I absolutely have to, because, as you can see, there are a lot more.
I was going to say, what? Any thought on why? It's a significant price difference.
They were the lowest out of the other people that bid on asphalt.
Wow. Okay. Good to shop around, Bob. Appreciate it. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We're going to enter into a contract with Ellis Brothers Incorporated. A motion to accept the concrete bid results from Ellis Brothers Incorporated as follows. Class C, $136. ODOT Fast Set, $152, Class S, $140 to $145, CDF, $105, Moderate Set is $145, and Small Load is 2 yards, $100, add a quarter, 1 1/4 yards to 4 yards is $70. Price per ton effective, 12 months date of acceptance with the option of a 12-month extension approved with both parties, by both parties. Discussion? Roll call. Second, I'm sorry.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. Entering a contract with Ohio Ready Mix. Motion to accept the concrete bids with from Ready Mix as follows. Class C, $118.50. ODOT Fast Set, $142.50. Class S, $127.50. CDF, $89.50. Moderate Set, $130.50. Small Load is non-applicable. Price per ton effective 12 months from date of acceptance with option to purchase 12-month extension with approval of both parties. Second?
Second.
Discussion? Bob, is that the same situation where?
Again, the same situation. Ohio Ready Mix has never bid on ours before. The closest plant is in Marysville. I'm trying to get an answer from them if they're going to even come over here to deliver to us.
Really?
Yes.
So why would we enter into a contract with them?
Because they are low bidder. That's okay. Who I will use if they'll deliver.
Okay. All right. Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
You can do stone bids as presented.
What's that?
You can do these two bids as presented if you want.
Yeah, I think I will on these other two. Enter into a contract with National Lime and Stone Company and enter into a contract with Shelley Materials for materials as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call. Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Bond?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Enter into a contract with McCoy Paving. Motion to accept the trucking bids results from McCoy Paving at a rate of $85 per hour. Price per hour effective 12 months from date of acceptance with an option of a 12-month extension with approval of both parties. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Motion to accept the paving bid results from McCoy Paving at a rate of $6,500 per 8-hour day. Price per 8-hour day effective 12 months from date of acceptance with the option of a 12-month extension and approval of both parties. Second?
Second.
Second. Bob, can you explain that a little bit?
They are the low bid. The next closest bid was $12,000 for an 8-hour day.
Jeez.
And that's 8 hours a day. They get paid that amount for 8 hours worth of work. Rather, we put down 100 tons or 500 tons.
And that's using their equipment, and that's all they come in and they do it.
They got all their equipment, all their manpower, and everything.
Yeah. Okay. And we've been using them in the past.
We've used them for the past 4 years.
4 years.
They've been low bid.
All right. Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, Bob. Got a lot of material to do a lot of work now.
Yeah.
All right.
The next thing is the resignation of Franco from the street department.
All right. I'll move to accept the resignation of maintenance employee Franco Girardinia, effective August 13th, 2021. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next thing is accept a donation from Michael Maison for to help pay for a new Burnside Cemetery sign that Leslie's having designed. He made a very big contribution. His parents are buried up there, and he noticed the sign was in bad shape, so he wanted to donate.
Very good. Move to graciously accept a donation from Michael Maison in the amount of $1,000 for the Genoa Township Cemetery Fund to be used for a sign replacement at Burnside Cemetery. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes, motion carries. We appreciate his contribution.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Where are we with paving? Are we finished with paving in the township now? Or?
As of 2:15, I'm finished.
15.
Who's counting?
Be more specific.
Finished Jaycox today at 2:15.
Awesome.
And that's the longest time we've ever spent on roads. We spent 4 months doing the roads we did this year.
Approximately how many miles?
I haven't totaled up, but I'm going to guess 9 or 10 miles.
Wow, 9 or 10 miles, that's 10%. Yeah.
Nice work, Bob.
Very good. Thank you. All right, Joe, you have something else?
I'm not sure originally when we had Jeff here, kind of went through his resignation, but I don't know if you all formally accepted his resignation. So do we need to do that?
Yeah.
Or can we do that?
So I'll move to accept the resignation of firefighter paramedic Jeffrey Ross, effective August 1st, 2021. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman? Sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Okay. the only other thing I have, and you should have language in your packet regarding a memorandum of understanding between the township and the International Association of Firefighters, Local 4307. I can break this down to you very easily. When I came to you all last fall and you approved the creation of the battalion chiefs and the dissolution of the position of deputy chief, as I explained to you all when we met and discussed the new roles and responsibilities of said personnel, that the spirit of the intent was when a battalion chief is off on vacation or some sort of leave, that the captain will fulfill the roles of the battalion chief for that day. As you're aware, when we very quickly opened and closed the union negotiation contract last year, this kind of slipped through the cracks. And so basically what we're doing is entering into a memorandum of understanding, and Mr. Riepenhoff drafted the language for you all for the resolution. But basically what this covers is it's the addendum to the contract. We already have part of this language where a lieutenant can ride or act as a captain, but we didn't have the provision where the captain would ride as a battalion chief and receive the appropriate pay. So we're just tidying up a loose end that I kind of overlooked during the creation of all the new positions.
Okay. All right, I'll move to accept the memorandum of understanding between Genoa Township and IAFF Local 4307 regarding temporary work assignments as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
And if I may, when we get done, if I can just get you to sign the memorandum.
Yep.
And just one other real quick note as a follow-up. Probably 2 months ago, you all approved the purchase of the new station alerting system for the fire station. And we very quickly placed the order and were pleasantly surprised within about 3 weeks the equipment showed up quicker than we thought it was going to. And Battalion Chief Weekly and Battalion Chief Johnson and a few of the other members, we had a instructional class provided that was paid for by the Delaware County 911 Center. So we have a couple of our personnel that are now authorized or licensed installers. So when we want to buy more equipment to add on to the system, our people can do it. So we're not going to have to pay an external cost to have that done. And then today, another representative from US Digital Design flew in from Richmond, Virginia, and they went through the whole system. And as of about 1:30 this afternoon, that system is live. So if you want to stop by and see all the new bells and whistles, let me know, and we'll get them to run a test call, and you can see what everything does in the building now. So,
all right, very good. Announcements: our next trustee meeting will be September 2nd, 2021, 6:30 p.m. here at the office. Joe, you reminded me just standing up there. A couple Saturdays ago, the Delaware Friends of Delaware County Trails had a bike ride, and we had one of our riders was actually hit by a car and near Big Walnut and Sunbury, and it was an intentional act. Our officers responded to it. They were able to trace down the individual. There was a witness. They got the license number. Come to find out that this turned into a rather extensive situation. And Chief, maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, this was a really weird situation. The driver was later located on Route 42, and it turned into a barricade situation in his vehicle. The Delaware County Tactical Unit was called out. Ultimately, he was apprehended. He did admit that he intentionally hit the cyclist. He said he was trying to kill him because he wanted to kill himself. He made a claim that he just murdered his girlfriend down in Columbus. I don't think that turned out to be accurate, but it small world. I know the bicyclist. My kids grew up with his kids, so I've been communicating with him. But fortunately, he's not seriously injured. But that was a very strange circumstance.
Well, and the reason I bring that up, and Joe, I know we had our medics down there and to assist, but we do have Peltonia, I believe, this weekend. We're going to have a lot of bikes on the road. We have a lot of bikers on the road anyhow in the township, especially on the east side. And again, this was a situation that was a little different where this guy was intentionally trying to cause a problem. But I just remind everyone to be very cautious of bikers. This time of year, it's a popular sport. It's a popular area to ride. And we just want to avoid any other problems on the road. So appreciate your work on that. Okay, we are going to have an executive session. So at this time, I will move to adjourn into executive session at 7:56 p.m. to consider the discipline compensation of a public employee and to conference with the board's attorney about pending or imminent court action. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion, roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes, motion carries. We are now in executive session at 7:57 p.m.
Yeah.
All right. At this time, I will make a motion to return from executive session to the regular trustee meeting. The time is 8:53 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. We are now back in the regular session. There is no additional business come before the board. So at this time, I'll move to adjourn this meeting at 8:53 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned at 8:53 p.m.